Previously on DDFP.
This is our McDonald's. You see the golden arches there, fellas.
We're moving up in the world.
I know.
We are moving up.
Maybe the three of us can jump into the car and we'll drive, go through the drive-thru. Look at that, see?
Make sure you get him a booster seat.
Listen, Luke Skywalker is more powerful, but we all like Han Solo better. Why? Because he's exciting. He's a gunslinger. You don't know what he's going to do.
So many people forget players win games in this league, not coaches.
They have egos. They have a lot of pride. That's why they're that good.
Yeah, that's why we like Johnny Football. He runs around and makes crazy plays.
You genuinely like Johnny Football.
Yeah, I do.
You two have been texting late nights or something.
Not at all.
This is unbelievable.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave. Dave Damashek, what's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, NFL.com, YouTube, so on and so forth. And for the second show in a row, and as far as I know, for the foreseeable future, we're presented by McDonald's. Very exciting. As I said before, I say again now. By the way, yeah, it's the Dave McDamashek football
program.
For a
limited time only?
From now on. For the foreseeable future, because at long last, two titans of pop culture joining forces to form a stronger whole.
The McShek, I like it.
1 + 1 = 1, mm-hmm. If you know what I'm talking about. All right, let's say hello to everybody here. Week 3 is just about upon us. Nay, it is upon us, so we have to break it all down. Lots of big news, as always, in pro football. Let's say hello to a full Studio 66. Starting out with, and I'll explain why there's some graphic differences here. First of all, let's say hello to him. You know his power rankings. You know his weekly picks available for you at NFL.com. And now you watch him on HQ every morning, Monday through Friday. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop, fella?
How's it going, man? I feel a little bit, this is weird. Like, I don't think I've ever, isn't this the Drew Statton Memorial Chair?
Yes, our former stats guy who never brought in any stats. Yeah, he's very busy these days, but we do have to get him back in here at some point soon. It must be uncomfortable for you, sort of like watching Brandon Whedon take snaps for your beloved Dallas Cowboys.
Dracar?
It was 1987? Even if it was 1987, I wouldn't.
Smelling Hank.
I smell pretty good, right?
Yeah, Hank is always the Dove body.
I smell glorious. Yeah. Shame on you, sir.
No, I didn't say you smelled bad.
I can't smell your axe.
We got to talk Johnny Football. By the way, I just saw the video there, previously on. Two things. First of all, I don't know why the previously on DDFP is done by an Australian.
I know, I was wondering the same
thing. Very strange. One, and two, when you get those close-ups, it really, the HD doesn't hide that Damashek is now an old man. There's a lot of gray in this in this beard if you're watching it on video, of course. By the way, I've been hearing from people who listen to the podcast rather than consume it via video. We certainly are doing our best to do two shows, one that works in audio. People say, it doesn't work anymore. I disagree with that. We're trying to remove the things that only are visual so that the audio listener doesn't find themselves bored for 30 seconds while we're watching other stuff. Anyway, let's continue going around the table. Patrick Claibon from the NFL News Desk. What a pleasure to see him. Black tie screwed up the schedule. And so we thought that we didn't have Elliot Harrison, and we grabbed Claibon, but then Elliot Harrison, decided to show up. That's called making lemonade out of lemons. Now, how are you, fella?
I'm just glad to be the lemon in the lemonade.
No, you're our lemonade.
But Elliot's chair smells spectacular.
It's the axe. It's the axe body spray.
Everybody smells good. Lastly, let's say hello to him. He's going to be departing our shores to return to his homeland, London, to watch the Jets and Dolphins get it on next week. In fact, I don't know. Well, I guess we'll talk to you early next week before you depart. Either way, big game coming up for his team. Like I say, from London, England, it's Handsome Hank. He's handsome, man. Whoa. That's better than the show opened that for Dave Damashek.
I know, I realize. I mean, that's genuinely the first time I've seen that, and that is super exciting to see it.
You throw the ball hard.
Thank you. You drew blood with that throw, man. Yep, that's what happens.
Are you jealous, EH?
A little bit, but we're working on something.
Hey, we got to talk about your big game coming up, though. Your Dolphins got a big one. Your Cowboys got a big one. I guess, Claibon, you're a Cowboys guy as well?
Why not? Let's
my Steelers have a sneaky, tough one coming up in St. Louis. So we got the Red Challenge Flag pick segment coming up for you. Very important stuff. Real quick, though, people seem to really be enjoying this. I thought it would be a good idea to dig into all the iconic plays in pro football history. You've seen them ad nauseum. The problem is you always see them from the winning team side of things. We've started to dig into the files there and dig up the greatest plays in NFL history. But from the losing play-by-plays perspective, it's time for the worst plays in NFL history. Yeah. Take a
fourth and 10, 22 seconds. Raiders with a six-point lead. This is the final play. Super Bowl on the line. Here come Jones and Klein. Nowhere for Bradshaw to go. Releases a prayer, and Tatum is the man on the spot. Knocks out Frenchie. Why the f*** is Franco Harris running to the end zone? Touchdown. Did you see that? There's no way that was a touchdown. All right, we got the replay here. Pardon me. Things are coming at us fast and furious. There's the pass. There's the hit by Jack. And I'll be mother f***. Franco Harris scooped that ball off the turf. And f*** you, Jimmy Warren, for standing around with your hands on your f***ing hips. You gotta be f***ing kidding me. There's the hit by Tatum. And man, talk about a stud. That's a real man. Oh, hey, I'm Jimmy Warren, and I'm just f***ing around out here because we're not playing for a goddamn trip to the Super Bowl. This is horse.
Wow, that guy was angry.
He really was. It almost seems like he had a Super Bowl ring on the line. And
it's
and,
funny,
and
too, that the guy
slipping away.
So the guy calling the game for the Raiders didn't even realize that they still had to go and play the Dolphins just to get to the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's like he was so he was seeing red.
Yeah.
Maybe Handsome Hank hit him with a football between the eyes just before
because
he didn't even – he forgot about the championship game the
following
week.
His knowledge of the game, too, knowing the refs' names and everything. I'm impressed.
Pretty good. So, all right, Red Challenge flag picks and all the rest. Right now, though, it's time for very important stuff. A lot of important stuff going on in the NFL. It seems like, you know, that's true 365 or at least 52 weeks a year. But now that the season's underway – a lot of big news breaking. Let's start with Cam Chancellor returning to the Seattle Seahawks, to his 0-2 Seattle Seahawks. My observation about this is, what a hero. He couldn't come back to play Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau. I'm sorry. This is on principle, team. I've got to do this. I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing this for all of us. I'm sorry. My holdout continues. Oh, wait. Jimmy Clausen? Oh, yeah, no, I'll play in that one, yeah. Oh, I can run out on the field and I'll be treated like a hero by all the home crowd. Yeah, yeah, you know what? I'm going to end my holdout for you guys. EH, how say you?
Yeah, man, this is so brutal. The Jimmy Clausen, the Bears are terrible right now. I don't think that Cam Chancellor is really going to be able to just jump right back in and be who he is, but do you think that
I could jump in and do well against Jimmy Clausen and the Bears.
Okay, I agree with you there. Do you think part of this, though, might be that the Cardinals are 2-0 and look doggone? I mean, they look good.
Mm-hmm.
You got to worry about them getting ahead, too far ahead in the division, because Seattle can't just show up, throw the ball out there, and win.
I feel people are being awfully cavalier. You know, it's the cool-headed sort of coach speak that fans have now adopted in the 21st century because everybody's so plugged in. And everybody fans, it's just two games. It's just two.
I know.
They're two games. They count. Those are strikes in the wrong column for you. And it is something that all these 0-2 teams are going to have to overcome. I mean, but they roll this week, right, Cam?
Well, yeah. You mentioned it. It's Jimmy Clausen. And the anti-Cutler crowd, of course, celebrated for some reason because they don't like Jay Cutler. And I don't think they realize that this is the same Jimmy Clausen as before.
Right. Well, the reason they're celebrating, I think, is because they know that Jimmy Clausen's going to get them that first overall pick, and then they're going to get a new quarterback next year no matter what. It's not going to be Jimmy Clausen or Jay Cutler.
Well, I'm glad that we have a couple of Cowboys fans in here, although
I love being surrounded by those
guys. Feel
they're
sad so for America's team. The football gods displeased for whatever reason with America's team. I don't know what the reason is behind that, but, you know, it's no coincidence. No Romo. No Dez, all the suspensions, injuries on
Randy
the other
Gregory,
side of the ball,
Orlando
everything else.
Scandrick.
Let's do a little reckless speculation, shall we?
Okay.
And let's evaluate where the Cowboys are going to be if, best case scenario, Romo comes back when he's supposed to be, again, optimistic thinking when he can come off the short-term IR. Let's go through the schedule here, fellas, and figure out where they are. Of course, they're now 2-0. Atlanta, they go to Big D. How do we say on that one?
I have Atlanta winning this game.
Do we agree that the Falcons are going to win that game?
I don't know if it's one of our red challenge flag picks.
You're right. I don't want to spoil that. I don't want to jump the gun there. But I will say that I do think that teams, this is sport-wide kind of thing, that I think there's a short-term, no one outside this locker room thinks you guys can get it done without Romo and all the superstars. I bet you they show up for this game. Mm-hmm. Then they go to the Saints. Mm-hmm. Then they go to New England. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, they host New England. Mm-hmm. By then, they will get Greg Hardy back. You assume Randy Gregory will be back.
Rolando McClain will be back.
I think suddenly that the strength of the team is going to be the defense, at least until Romo comes back.
That's not going to matter against the Patriots, though. They're going to get.
So that's probably a loss. They host the Giants. I bet you Eli and company, return the favor there in Big D. They tend to play well down there. They play Seattle at home. That's probably a loss. Philly, depends what you think about the Eagles. If the Eagles lose to the Jets, though, they're in real trouble. So who knows what kind of quit there will be in that team, in that locker room. And then they host Tampa Bay. So that's a victory. But I see that around 500. Is that fair?
They could go 3-4 and finish. Let's see, that would put them at 5-4. But I think Romo's going to be out longer than that. I'd see him being out 8 games, and maybe they go 3-5. But even then, they'll still be 5-5. Do you guys really think anyone in the NFC East is going to be 7-3? Right. I don't.
And also, when Dez comes back, too, is another factor. Remember, before Romo went out, the conversation was, well, what's Romo and that offense going to do without Dez? They're going to lose a lot of games. That's before 9 went down. So, yeah, I think more like 3-4 is where this thing's headed, unless Randy Gregory and Greg Hardy form a potent duo.
Would you guys rather play Brandon Whedon or Matt Castle? If it was the Steelers or it was the Dolphins, what are we thinking here?
Good question.
Would I rather? I don't think I'd be. I'm not sure there's too much difference between those two. Well, I don't know that you'd be worried about them. I'd rather see Brandon Whedon try and get on a. I think. We haven't seen the best of Brandon Whedon playing behind a great offensive line with some weapons, compared to what he did back in Cleveland. Whereas we know what Matt Castle's the body of work is out there. We know what mm-hmm. Matt Castle's capable of. Maybe Whedon has a little more upside, but yeah, I think they're both about the same.
I think the line brings out that upside.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a different team and you've got Brandon Whedon or Matt Castle behind a different offensive line, I think the difference between the two is going to be a lot more glaring.
Yeah, there is something to be said for that we get away from. I always say that regardless of however you categorize, the most important thing to an NFL QB, great receiver, the offensive coordinator, the complementary style that your overall mm-hmm. team wants to play. I think the most important thing for almost everybody outside of Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Russell Wilson is the offensive line. Brandon Whedon was in Cleveland. So what expectation anybody had in hindsight? He's going to be kept clean at the very least, yep. And he's got a whip.
There's a little symmetry here. We were talking before the podcast, like would you play Castle over Whedon with just a couple days? Well, there's precedent here. In 93, Troy Aikman got hurt. The Cowboys had Jason Garrett, who had thrown like literally 7 passes. The Browns released Bernie Kosar on Tuesday of that week. The Cowboys signed him on Thursday. He gets off a plane. They teach him the playbook. So then they play the Cardinals. Jason Garrett goes out, starts the game. They get like a 3-0 lead. And Jimmy Johnson saw enough. He's like, all right, go ahead and put Bernie in there. Bernie goes in. They win the game. And Norv Turner, their offensive coordinator, used to, before every game, sit down and make a list of Bernie's plays. These are the plays that Bernie thought they could beat the other team with. Well, in the championship game that year, Troy Aikman gets concussed, and Bernie had to go in the third quarter.
Oh, I completely forgotten that.
Yeah, so, this is the NFC Championship against the 49ers in their heyday. So Norv pulls out his list of Bernie's plays, and they start calling Bernie's plays that Bernie's he likes. Plays. Right. Throws a touchdown to Alvin Harper. They whoop the 49ers. They go to the Super Bowl, and they beat the Bills.
I have zero recollection of that. I think I got bonked on the head myself.
I don't think Troy remembers the Super Bowl after that. He got kneed in the head by Dennis Brown.
Well, it's interesting. And by the way, I feel like this undermines the entire credibility of coaches who say, hey, you got to get in our system, and you got to spend a lot of time and learn our playbook. If you can bring a guy off the street and put him out on the field, really, how can you claim that to any player you ever bring in after that? Yeah, like, well, coach, you brought this guy.
finding a Bernie Kosar on the street's a little different to the guys you would normally find on the street, which, you know, who are pretty much like the fourth string quarterback for every team.
Don't sleep on the idea that they might still sign Bernie Kosar.
Yeah, or maybe get the Bernie. You know who did sign him? Right. So Dallas did not re-sign him after that. That's right.
Miami Dolphins.
He backed up Dan Marino.
And it was they always say that the fake spike wasn't Marino's idea, who's always credited with it. It's Bernie's.
It's a very collegiate kind of thing that you see, is the flip-flopping of quarterbacks. Your Bama guys right now are doing that in 2015, changing quarterbacks almost every series. You almost never see it in the NFL, but now we have three teams. The Cowboys might be doing that as soon as this week. Who knows when Mallett's going to get yanked in favor of Hoyer. And then up in Cleveland, the apocalyptically awful decision. Shame on Mike Pettine, who is an enemy of fun, an enemy of trying to service what the Browns fans want, which is they want something to be excited about. And instead, he decides to go Josh McCown. When's Johnny Football back on the field? Claybon, I say with you.
Next week.
Wow. Week full.
Because
we saw Mike Pettine yesterday, and he gives his answers, and it's like, well, we sat down at the table and we got the protractor out and we made the best decision that we could for it. And just have some emotion, have some fun, and it's going to be not fun.
Shameful, I say. Handsome,
I say. Probably 3 minutes and 46 seconds into the third quarter.
Is that what your watch told you?
Yeah, my watch.
It told you 3:46 into the game?
Yeah, so I wanted to count down. I mean, from now, the number of minutes is about 2,874.
When will Johnny Football see the gridiron again?
Tell me.
Next week.
My Casio, it's water resistant to 100 meters like as well, so, it's pretty
checking easy. The watch. EH, how say you?
I got week five. I think that he's going to give McCown a shot, but you said he's an enemy of fun. Maybe the problem is he didn't own a Cassettatron. I had Cassettatron when I was younger, so I learned how to have fun. You know,
yeah. That's true.
Yeah,
you
know,
you are nothing if not fun.
Several people tweeted
and funny
to correct his name of Cassettatron.
What was it? I can't remember.
Someone
tweeted me.
I've said it before. Here's the thing with the setup of this weekend. This is a huge opportunity, as I said, in front of the decision. Whoever gets it has a chance to really solidify themselves as the starter. Why? Because you get the Oakland Raiders coming to town. I'm not saying the Raiders are a bum team, but that's a pretty favorable matchup in 2015 to get the Raiders coming across the country.
So you're saying you're picking the Browns?
I'll reveal my pick in a little while.
Both the team. We discovered last week that Dave actually makes two separate picks and manages to. This is not outrageous. Dave makes
this
picks
is an outrageous
in NFL.com/pick'em.
Yeah.
I'll be allowed to speak, please.
All right.
NFL.com/pick'em, Dave makes one set of picks. Then he goes off and does like three other pick segments,
and then, so
including the spoiler alert, and he picks the other teams. And then Dave cannot be wrong. But. From here on, you will be held to the picks that are in Pick'em.
That is junk. Wow. Listen, every Friday on NFL.com, Handsome, you're the homepage editor. I presume that you have seen it come across.
I have seen
yours,
and I've also, that's how I know that you pick the opposite.
Those are my locked-in picks. Those are my locked-in picks. I do the Pick'em.
Well, then you need to lock them back in and pick them.
Maybe I do, but I'm lazy and forgetful. And so I forget to go back and do it. But my
last week, how many did you get correct? There are 16 games last week.
I told you the Raiders.
How many did you say? You got five correct picks.
I got seven correct.
Hear me now, believe me later. Friday, I go in and I change my picks.
Yeah.
I did. I picked the Raiders and the Buccaneers.
But he didn't change them.
Home run.
All right.
Back-to-back home runs by Damashek. All right, so I think that Manziel, I was going to say week four, but I'm with Handsome. I think he actually, I think football, I mean, that's a tough
three
spot.
3 minutes, 46 seconds.
As much as I say Josh McCown is the guy, you know, and has a real opportunity here, the thing that is going to work against him is, as I said before, the Cleveland fans want Johnny Football. So if McCown trips up at all, the boo birds will be out and they will flip to Manziel.
We know how NFL head coaches react to
And then the other side of that is like Pettine is this, you know, icy and, you know, wants to cut that figure. I think he will self-validate and say, I'm not yanking McCown again for this week. So maybe my first pick is right. Week four is when.
Oh, look, that's what I'm talking about.
I flip-flop. My answers are subject to change until kickoff. All right, fellas, let's make our picks here. It's what everybody loves on our second podcast of each NFL regular season and postseason week. It's time for the Red Challenge Flag Pick segment.
Red challenge flag pigs. Dun, 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 dun.
This promises to be the most exciting red challenge flag pigs ever. Three-way action here. The red challenge flags will be flying fast and furious. What's wrong, Claybon?
I've got my flag.
Yeah.
I might have to throw it on myself because I think we've got news.
Can you do that, please? I've got to go. Before you, can you just drop it on your head? Yeah, thank you.
You're going to go do breaking news at the NFL news desk.
It's always broken if I'm doing it.
The news waits for no man. It waits for no
podcast. That's how the sausage is made.
All right, Claybon. Hit the bricks. All right.
So I might borrow your red flag because I think I'm going to need a lot.
Can I get my place back?
Got some good games coming up here, everybody. Sorry, Claybon.
I'm sorry, too.
Good luck to your friend Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban and everybody else down there in your beloved home state of Bama. All right, there
you go.
I think
this means that Cowboys signed Christian Ponder.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't
know. There he goes. All right, fellas, let's jump right to it here. And, you know, when we talk about these 0-2 teams, it has been the most discussed subject of, you know, under the sun. I mean, ad nauseum, pretty much.
The Eagles.
Right? No, in general, the 0-2 teams there.
But especially,
volunteer as we go along here if you think any of these 0-2 teams are going to make the playoffs. Everybody's doing like, who's in the most trouble? Let's look at it with our glass half full and see if you can say that I think this team does wind
who's
up
resilient okay.
in January. Let's start off with the Green Bowl. All green in New Jersey. Eagles at Jets. Handsome Hank, I start with you.
I am picking the New York football Jets to win this game, Elliot.
You know, Hank.
Do it.
I like my little ghosties.
Start it off the right way.
You see how he's got the little... This one's
I see
got,
it.
Got a little bit of a faux hawk with the... Like Demaryius Thomas mm-hmm. has the back end, but I'm not throwing him because I...
Put him back down there.
Yeah, I'm going to put him right back down there. I think the Jets are just going to be too much. You know, Sam Bradford had a terrible game, but I don't even think it's about that. Sam Bradford, I think, will rebound. I do believe in him, but not against this team. The Jets look too good on defense.
I'm going to go with the Eagles here.
And really?
As good as the Jets have been, it's not as though I think it's smoke and mirrors or anything like that. The Jets have two very good victories, and the defense is absolutely for real. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is not complete jive. I think that his window will close within 5 games or so. NFL defenses will figure them out. The thing I like about the Eagles here is, and, you know, I've applied this for years now, that the principle that the Eagles must have this game. The Jets don't have to have this game. So who's the more desperate NFL team? The Eagles, of course. That makes no sense in terms of matchups. That has nothing to do with the X's and O's. It's just, you know, Chip Kelly and everybody in that locker room's got to be like, guys, this if we lose this game, who knows? The wheels... maybe off there.
It's an ugly uni matchup, though. Just
terrible. I don't know. I disagree with that.
I love green.
That'll look nice, kind of. As long as, here's the trick, the Eagles are going to have to wear the green pants so that you go, the home team Jets will go white hat, green jerseys, white pants, and then you need the exact opposite from the Eagles. Eagles go white pants with the white jerseys, all bets are off. That won't be good. Here's the thing I will say just practically about the matchup. I like the Eagles the way they're put together. We don't know about Alonzo. But I do like their ability to, or at least the way they're built, is to take the ball away a little bit. I think Fitzpatrick is a guy who
he'll
is prone to turn the ball over. I think that there will be a key turnover or two that swings the game towards the Eagles.
Yeah, I would agree.
Next up, like we talked about earlier, the Dallas Cowboys and the Atlanta Falcons. Elliot Harrison, Whedon, how say you?
I'm on the record from earlier in the show. I got to stick with it. Atlanta Falcons win in Big D.
Dave, sit back a little bit.
All right,
because
do it.
What I don't want to do is draw blood on you.
Yeah! Wow. That was a very fey toss you made.
Well, you know what? As you saw earlier, I don't want to hurt anyone.
You really couldn't.
That's my thing.
This is the moneymaker, too. Exactly. You don't want to injure that.
That's why I went for the stomach. I don't want to draw blood from Elliot's face.
Will you say hurt again?
Hurt.
Well, the way you said it the first time, you sounded like the kid in Charlie Bit My Finger. And it's still hurting.
I'd not want to hurt Elliot.
Now, listen. Here's why the Cowboys are going to win, because you both expect them to lose. I think that all the talk this week about all the talk this week, in fact, is exactly the same thing you just said about the Eagles. But all the talk and the expectation around what are the Cowboys going to do in this situation? Like, I think Brandon Whedon, knowing that he's being able to start for a week behind that offensive line, I think the Cowboys will come out at home and play well.
I know Jason Garrett doesn't exactly cut the figure of master motivator, but I think that there is some spin here in the short term. Hey. apparently, I mean, I could see headlines. I guess they don't do headlines anymore. Printed out from the internet or whatever. But
yeah.
Putting those up there. Hey, guys, the season's over, right? According to everybody outside the locker room.
Jason Garrett would be like, Elliot Harrison picked us to lose. Now what are we going to go do out there?
Hey, you know what?
And then some
Prove that guy wrong.
Then some British guy threw a red flag into his eyeball. He's never been the same since.
Do you think that this might be a good thing for Jason Garrett? I mean, he doesn't always get the most respect. He's starting to, but when he took over, it was for Wade Phillips. They were 1-7, I believe. He took the Cowboys to a 5-3 record that year. They went 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, 12-4. So he has a winning record as a head coach. They darn near went to the championship game. If he keeps them afloat and they win the NFC East this year, I think you're going to see a much different tone about Jason Garrett.
All right, I think there's plenty of see, that's inside baseball you're playing. You feel as though Jason Garrett's not respected. He makes a lot of money.
I don't think he's disrespected anymore. I don't think he's I just think this may take him up a notch. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
The matchups are awfully tough, though. Julio Jones is a tough matchup, obviously, for anybody. But really, what is that defense going to be able to do to slow him down? I don't know. I'm playing the hunch. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys here.
Thanks for joining me, Dave.
The Miami Dolphins hosting. The Buffalo Bills.
Toughest pick of the week.
Rex or Philbin, 1-2. Both of these teams expected to be contenders. They're going to be behind, not the eight ball, but they're not going to be in a great spot 3 weeks into the season. Handsome Hank, your turquoise heroes. How say you?
My turquoise heroes after last week are no longer my heroes. I like it better when you call them Aqua. Aqua. I have regretfully picked the Buffalo Bills for this game.
Oh, handsome.
Yeah, you know, Hank, I have to agree with you that your pick's regrettable.
Yeah, he did it. He tried to catch it, but he couldn't. That was a fastball.
This is the kind of game the Dolphins win. Just enough to give you hope that they're going to do something before they finish 7-9. Or 8-8.
You know what?
That's what they do, 8-8.
Yes.
Harrison and I are parking our cars in the same garage today. The Dolphins are going to win that game. Again, I like the matchup for the Dolphins in several ways. I know the Bills' defense is mighty, but I feel like there's going to be, again, this is emotional rather than X and O reasoning, but I feel like that Bills game last week was monumental to them. They were so hyped up for that game against the Patriots and came up a little short. I feel like they're going to be a little less motivated. Yeah. And the Dolphins got embarrassed last week. They lost to the dirty Jaguars. And now they need the win.
But there's some injury problems.
Talk about Ndamukong Suh freelancing. He hasn't really done anything. One tackle last week. I think the Dolphins' defense is going to come out and put a stamp on this game.
I think, I'm with you 100%. Like we just saw there last week, I think that defense is going to make Tyrod Taylor hurt a little bit. I think they're going to sack him quite a bit in this game. So, yeah, I'll go with the Dolphins. Super Bowl I rematch next.
Ooh.
I predicted – well, I didn't make it – wait, that wasn't my preseason prediction, but half of it, the Kansas City Chiefs, I did put into the Super Bowl. If I had it to do over again, I might put the Packers. That would be a nice little
completion
of the circle.
Super Bowl I, Super Bowl 50, then we could just scrap the NFL, just goes away.
And it would be a marvelous game to boot to have Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers drafted – in the same year, all that controversy. Aaron Rodgers wanted to go to the Niners, or at least you would think he did since he grew up rooting for the Niners. Either way, let's talk about Week 3, 2015. Elliot Harrison, how say you?
I've got the Packers at home, and I do like this uni matchup.
Oh, it's a grand.
It's a beautiful one.
Especially if they wear the red pants, the Chiefs.
They've got
Even though in the first Super Bowl, they wear the white pants.
Yeah. I have to agree with Elliot. This red flag, which is also wearing red pants, is staying right here.
I don't like when the Chiefs do the all red uniforms as a side note. Really? I you know what? I got news for you guys.
I just realized you're right. They wear white pants.
You're picking the Chiefs to win in Lambeau.
Yeah, that's in the famous picture from Super Bowl I is at halftime of Lenny Dawson burning a nail. Smoking a cigarette. Just dynamite. I have a hunch here. Again, I'm playing it. I really love the defense there in Kansas City. The story coming off of last Thursday night's game was Peyton Manning's back as long as he can run his offense. But make no mistake, They got 14 points, did the Broncos, off of turnovers, one directly, and then the other one was a fumble inside the 10, and so they converted that into points. I think the Chiefs' defense shows up here. I don't know that they're going to intercept Rodgers, the remarkable run that he has of not throwing in an interception, and Lambeau is not being sung about nearly enough as much as you're hearing about it. I mean, what a run. 2012? It's been 3 years since he threw a pick. I think that Jamaal Charles and company have a good day and they get out of there with a
pick. I hope they're secondary.
That's amazing. I think that's the bravest pick you've made this season.
28-27.
I hope the secondary doesn't have like baby oil on their hands again or whatever. I mean, you guys watch every – how many interceptions did the Chiefs drop?
Right.
At least four?
Three or four.
There was one play where I think they dropped the same interception three times.
By the way, but that being said, Marcus Peters is as dominant a corner walking into – I mean, the first two games, he's just dominant, aggressive, shutting down guys. He's fun to watch there. Next up, big AFC North game. The Cincinnati Bengals riding high, 2-0. Ravens.
It's a good one. This is an important game.
0-2. People point, no, Terrell Suggs, we're in trouble. I feel like John Harbaugh's coming a little unhinged here early. Handsome Hank, how say you?
Dave, I picked the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I'm picking the Bengals to win this
game. Whoa, I don't know what that means for your Super Bowl pick, but go ahead. Yeah, there you go.
I'm taking the Ravens, man. The Ravens are going to go 0-3.
How do you know?
At home, this is the exact kind of game that Baltimore wins, just like what I said with Miami. They don't ever allow themselves to get so far in a hole. They'll probably finish 8-8 as well this year. And the Bengals haven't been very successful in Baltimore.
When we made our predictions at the back before the season started, and we said what I was saying about the Ravens was, I can't see where their offense is going to come from, but I know that they'll find some from somewhere. 2 weeks into the season, I'm not sure. I still don't know where it's coming from. And if the answer is just Steve Smith, then it's Crockett Gilmore. Well, but that's not the answer. That's fine and it's nice, but I don't think it's going to be enough.
I have never heard Justin Forsett criticize your homepage editing ever. Not once.
I will say this. I think that I like the Bengals the way that again. This is an Andy Dalton game. I know my Flacco. If I know anybody, it's Flacco. That's why I knew the Raiders were going to beat them in Oakland last week. But I also know Andy Dalton. And Andy Dalton, this one has red rifle stinker all over it. Three interceptions for him. The home team survives in an ugly one. In another one that this team is going to be playing desperate, obviously, in front of the home crowd there. So I'll go with the Ravens to salvage their season. And then, of course, they head to Pittsburgh, PA in week 4 for a big TNF game. Lastly, another 0-2 team. Talk about preseason predictions. I hung my hat on the Detroit Lions. I said they're going to win the NFC North. They'll be the second seed. All that. They're 0-2 facing number 18 and the Denver Broncos. And really, 18 is just a supporting cast member to that mighty defense. EH, how say you?
Oh, man, I debated this game so long. I'm taking the Detroit Lions at home.
Handsome Hank, how's
Dave, you? I know. I mean, I think, like, I would say so far, up until this point, we've thrown more red challenge flags than ever before.
There have been a lot thrown today. I've been excited about it.
But I'm going to have to leave these remaining two red flags on ice because I believe as well that the Lions will pull it together in this game and that the Broncos... And this is there's nothing out there to say, but the Broncos are due a loss. Like they've won two games that looked like they were going to lose. And so.
It seems like, but if you do the math on that the defense keeps taking the ball away. By the Denver defenders are doing a great job. Matt Stafford has thrown some horrendous picks
really
there.
Has.
You would think that, of course, that will continue, but again, I have to stay consistent this week. These teams that need to win the game desperately are going to win the game more often than not.
Does Matt Stafford go into every game and say, "I'm going to what shape can I contort myself into and attempt to throw an NFL pass?" It's ridiculous. Like, set your feet, throw the ball. You've got a great arm, but use it properly. Don't try and like.
He's just a man.
I'm on one leg, falling over. You don't need to do
he's
that.
He's just a human being. There are metaphysical forces at play here. I told you already. 9-15, September of 15, the number 9 is cursed. Romo. Who am I forgetting? Wait.
Breeze,
that's the one. Wait, let me do it again. Romo.
Wheelahan.
There are metaphysical forces at play here. He's just a human being. Witness, the number 9 is cursed in the ninth month
of
2015.
Give us some examples.
Matt Stafford, Drew Breeze, Tony Romo.
Upside down, Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler upside down.
I thought for sure.
He shakes it off this time.
I thought for sure you were going to launch into a Duke from Rocky IV. He's not a machine. He's a man. You remember that whole scene? I mean, I thought you were going there. Yeah, I got all.
I remember though.
But I know you're more of an early Rocky guy, not a four guy.
No. I absolutely false. 1 through 4, solid gold.
Yeah.
Five is when Damashek turns out. That's when the money grab starts. That's where I tune out. All right, listen. So we've got football babies picks coming for you. Make sure you catch those before, because if you want to know the answers to how some of these games are going to turn out.
The football Lions winning at home.
Football baby has made his picks, and let's just say that he eats up week 3. That's all I want to tell
you. He picked the Lions.
Well, we're moving different places around the house trying to do it, and so we captured him, you know, at dinner time or just before. His appetizer was picking pro football games. So be on the lookout for that. Harrison's game picks are online. Damashek, spoiler alert, will be out there for you. The power rankings at the start of every week. Handsome Hank, you want to plug something?
Oh, yeah. Let you guys make your picks against us at NFL.com/pick'em. See if you can beat Dave.
And don't forget to watch Harrison, Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones, Drew, the whole gang on Sunday from 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. We're sitting there watching all the games along with you. Go to NFL.com, watch along with us.
To the very end.
It's NFL Now, Game Day Blitz. Tune in to that. Yeah, we sit there all the way through the late afternoon game's conclusion. Join us for that. It's great fun. And you know what? We'll be back next week. We'll say our goodbye to Handsome Hank before he flies off. And just one more really important thing I don't want to forget to tell you about.
Find out more on the next DDFP.